The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Well, James, as you know, I've spent most of my adult life alone. So I know what loneliness is. And so I realized that I'm not alone, that there are a lot of people who are suffering loneliness. You just have to look around the church and see people sitting by themselves.
God knows our longings to be seen, to belong, and to be loved. Ruth Graham addresses the epidemic of loneliness. Next on Life Today.
We're so glad that you're joining us because we feel like you're family. We got family here. We have Billy Graham's daughter, Ruth. And many times when she's spoken with us, she says, well, remember, I'm also Ruth Graham's daughter, not just Billy Graham's daughter. Talk about what Mom did. And, of course, she bears Mom's name. But she's family to us. She calls me her big brother. She didn't mind telling the whole world. And I love her. We've been very close. And she's been here many times. Many of you may remember at the her dad's memorial service, she lifted Jesus so high that it was a message heard around the world. And what an honor to God and to Dad and to the power of love and grace. Well, she's written another book. You know, she wrote a best-selling book years ago. I remember when we first started talking about it, in every pew there sits a broken heart. And she knew what it was to sit in the pew with a broken heart. But she knew so many people who do. This is interesting. She hadn't told me yet why she was moved to write this, but I can tell it wasn't something that just came out of Ruth's mind. It came out of her heart, but frankly, we believe it came out of the heart of God, and it's called Transforming Loneliness, Deepening Our Relationships with God and Others When We Feel Alone. Ruth, we're really glad to have you here in Black
today. I'm so glad to be here. This is so much fun. I always look forward to coming.
Oh, it's so good to see you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, I've reached out to you many times in your life's journey.
Yes.
Have we ever comforted you when you might have felt lonely? I'd like to know.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Just knowing I had a big brother was a comfort, you know, and I knew I could call you, and I have called you and asked for help or advice, and you've been very liberal with that.
Well, and it's a joy. Okay, tell us how you were moved to write this book, Transforming Loneliness, because the whole world is in a pandemic and in a panic in many ways, but probably lonely.
That's right.
What's going on?
That's right. Well, James, as you know, I've spent most of my adult life alone. So I know what loneliness is. And so I realized that I'm not alone, that there are a lot of people who are suffering loneliness. You just have to look around the church and see people sitting by themselves. So I thought, well, I'll tackle this subject. And this is a different book for me because I've delved into research and got statistics on loneliness. And loneliness is universal, and it's very serious. Loneliness, we all want to be seen, known, heard, valued. But when we're alone, we don't feel that. And now we have to differentiate between loneliness and solitude and isolation. Loneliness is a feeling that we have, and it's usually temporary. It's not long-lasting. If it becomes chronic, then it leads to all sorts of health issues. It can lead to obesity. It can lead to...
Does it contribute to depression?
Yes, it does.
I would think it does, and that's become a massive problem.
That's a massive problem as well. And it also attacks our prefrontal cortex in our brain, which affects our feelings and our reasoning. And if we have sustained loneliness, it's the equivalent of smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Wow.
So it's a serious issue, but that's loneliness. But then you have solitude, and solitude is something we seek to recalibrate sometimes and to think and be with God, and that's what we want to do. We want to spend the time with God and develop that relationship with God. And then there is isolation, and isolation is not healthy. Isolation in our culture is the worst punishment we can give. And James, I had a wonderful time speaking with prisoners about loneliness, because I've been working with prisoners up in West Virginia, and I asked them to write me about loneliness. And they wrote such interesting things, but one was particularly, he said, you know, Ruth, I came to prison so angry, so mad, so just against the world. And he said, while I was in prison, I came to know Jesus, and he said, I'm not lonely anymore. And it really was a real thing for him. And I was very pleased to be able to ask the prisoners about their loneliness. But loneliness is worldwide. In Great Britain, they have, 30% feel alone. And Theresa May, when she was prime minister, created a minister of loneliness for her cabinet. And in Japan, they have an epidemic of lonely deaths, deaths of despair, where people die and nobody knows they've died until the neighbors notify the authorities of the stench coming from the apartment.
Wow.
And this is just worldwide, that people are so lonely. And yet we have abandoned faith. We have, and we...
It's actually mocked. You know, the thought of God.
Yes.
You're presented oftentimes as an enemy of everything. You might even be the cause of what they call racism or these horrible ideas. It's horrible. This is where the deceiver has begun to prevail, deceiving to the core. And that certainly contributes to loneliness and a sense of isolation, being cut off. And really the only source of healing comes from the healer, God, who is full of love and compassion and care.
Absolutely.
And I mean, this isn't like an American crisis or North American crisis. This is a worldwide crisis. Don't you think the pandemic has actually really made a heavy contribution to making it worse?
It's exacerbated. And so we have the problem. So what do we do about it?
Yeah.
And so I developed an acronym, REACH. Recognize the symptoms of and sources of loneliness in your life. Express it to God and to one other person. Then anticipate that God can transform the loneliness into something for His purposes in your life, drawing you into a better relationship with Him and with others.
Let me just pause right there, too, because it's really, and this is something as I've gotten older and I've begun to see some things in the Word that have been there all along that I see so much more clearly. You know, when Jesus said, you'll only find your life if you lose your life in Me. And Betty, you know, because you've watched this journey. It's been amazing how it's affected people. What He's actually saying is lose your life in His, the Father's, kingdom purpose. And you begin to live with not just purpose, but His purpose. And one of His main focuses is on benefiting and blessing the family, where the family can benefit and bless others with the blessings that God offers. So that is a great, great healing touch. And I didn't want to mess up the spelling of R-E-A-C-H, but that really is, that is very, very, very important for people to understand that God will move into the situation.
Absolutely. You can anticipate that He will do that.
Anticipate.
And then connect. Connect with some, you know, a community of faith. Dennis Prager says that religion, of course, we believe that's Jesus, is the strongest thing that we can do to deal with loneliness, and that we just can't ignore the fact that we are isolating ourselves with technology. The Generation Z is the loneliest generation, which I was surprised.
Wow.
That's the age from born in 1995 to 2015. That's the Generation Z. And I have grandsons that are in Generation Z. And so I called them and I said, are you lonely? He said, absolutely. We are the loneliest generation ever. And he said, we're connected, but we're not connected.
And by the way, Dennis Prager sitting right where you're sitting, and then repeating it as he walked out and said it twice, he said, Christians are the only hope freedom has. Christians are the only hope. Basically what you just said, he pointed something out, but he also acknowledges that Christians are the ones seemingly the most effective at meeting these challenges and needs, which is exactly what you just said. He said it, yes. What you've written confirms it. We know it, we see it confirmed, because when people receive the love that Christians should be freely offering, It is a healing factor in
absolutely,
their life.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, I know that I've seen people and heard people say being in a crowd, you can be in a crowd and feel so lonely.
Absolutely. I think sometimes lonelier than ever.
Yeah, lonelier mm-hmm. than ever. So it's important that we understand that the healing of that loneliness is that connection with God.
There's no question. And He will transform it.
Yeah.
And I give you an illustration from our life. And that one Christmas that you went hunting with Ted, and I've told you this story, I think, and I was so mad at you and Ted. Here I had been busy shopping and cleaning and cooking and wrapping packages, and I thought, well, we could spend
the
afternoon
so
as a family, and you all decided to go hunting. And I just thought, well, he needs to be here with a family. And so he left me alone with my children, and I thought, you know, I just...
Are you sure he went with me? I must have pulled off America to get away from it.
But, you know, the thing is, I was set to be just really angry and felt sorry for myself. Mm-hmm. But that afternoon, after I'd cleaned up the house and put the kids to bed, I realized I had gotten some nice gifts. I'd write my thank you notes. I wrote my thank you notes and got that off my to-do list. And then we had a piano. And I don't play the piano, but I began to plunk out some hymns. And I just worship the Lord. Amen. And the Lord
see
transformed.
How we helped you, didn't
you? Gave me that time.
The Lord.
But the Lord transformed that loneliness. Yeah. And I think back now and think that was one of the best Christmases I ever had.
That's cool. I'm glad Ted and I contributed some. Have I ever contributed anything positive in our marriage? I just thank God and I want you to continue this till we get this all the way through this acronym
Reach.
That you've got.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, I want to say this to you. You know, when you wrote the book In Every Pew That Sits a Broken Heart, you wrote that because you knew with a broken heart, you're sitting mm-hmm. in the pew and you knew everywhere. And I just felt like as you were talking about this sense of loneliness and you said you can be in a crowd and feel lonely, you can be sitting in a church and feel lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And this really did occur to me. So many people sit there and wonder if anybody around them has ever noticed them. And by the way, one of the greatest things that we together get to do, talking about you, we, with God's direction, inspiration, and His love, we notice the least noticed together.
Mm-hmm.
We notice what Jesus referred to as the least of these.
Mm-hmm.
And noticing them and letting them know that they are noticed, mm-hmm. and that they've been noticed because the greatest noticer, God and His Spirit, notices them. And we're able to give them a connection. If the church would just let people around them know. You know, oftentimes you'll have people shake hands, mm-hmm. but it's almost like a duty. You're not really looking. I look around the congregation, just like when I used to preach. God would single people out when I have these big crowds. And I would zero in. I always made sure that the 4 and 5-year-olds that happened to be not in the nursery but out there, I wanted to be sure they were still looking at me. I wanted to be sure they were listening. I tell one lady, I said, you wake that little boy up there, lady. I say, wake him up. She said, you wake him up. You put him to sleep. I always look to see if people are listening. Mm-hmm. And I look around the church when I'm waiting for my pastor to preach or even while he's preaching, and I pray for people. Mm-hmm. And I see people. Mm-hmm. And I pray somebody will go to them. Very difficult for me to walk over to them. Occasionally I do. But then all of a sudden I get mobbed and suddenly I'm not...
Sure.
They look at us in the wrong place like some kind of celebrity, which we're not. But the point is that people need to know. So I want to tell you something. God not only sees you, He loves you beyond anything you could ever imagine. Now let me make this suggestion to you. Ask Him to pour His love in you and give you the wisdom and direction in how you could share that love. And while you're sitting there praying, like Ruth was talking about being alone, she actually had a happy time because she was alone with God.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually had some fun. Well, just ask the Lord to let you have some fun by receiving, but then find some places to touch somebody with that love.
Yes.
You'll touch a lonely heart that's a broken heart or about to be, and begin a healing process. Continue with the acronym, if you will.
The C is connect. Connect with God and connect with others.
Right.
Because we were not meant to be alone. Mm-hmm. God created us for community.
Right.
And for us, community is church. But if it's not church, it could be a book club, it could be whatever. If you're lonely, reach out to connect with somebody. And yes, the first step is very hard to do. You know, you don't want to do it, but do it. And then H is honor God. Honor God with your loneliness. Dedicate your loneliness to God and say, God, I'm lonely. I give it to you. Will you use it? And invariably, He will. He will use it for His glory and His purposes to draw you deeper into Himself and in deeper relationship with others.
This is everything you've shared with your life testimony and the things that you've written. It's just such a tremendous blessing. And I want to just thank you for not only being who you are, Ruth, but letting Him be who He desires to be in you. Mm-hmm. And always, since I've known you, you've presented Him a broken vessel many times. Mm-hmm. You presented Him clay that didn't seem to have the shape that you knew God wanted, but you wanted Him. You and I have had an honesty in our relationship that I think has been really refreshing and remarkable. Would you agree?
Yes, sir.
And you feel, do you always feel the love of God flowing through us and through the Life Outreach
family? Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's why your audience is so...
That's it. Mm-hmm. They've actually been caught by the vision of the Father, not the vision of Life Outreach. Mm-hmm. And you demonstrated, so you're the most amazing people. Mm-hmm. Our viewers are the greatest donors, faithful supporters on the planet, in the sense that they see a need and nothing's too big. We're going to do it, but we do it together. Mm-hmm. And they don't try to make somebody look big because you did what God wanted. They're just really having fun with it. I want you to get the book. We'll actually send it to you if you'll give a pair of shoes. How about several pairs of shoes? And Betty, our missionaries have asked. This is the last week when we have committed, you know, we will have given over 2 million children shoes. Yeah. But to give 150,000, that's what we're giving this year. And now we're reaching the end of that. And the missionaries said, could you give us another? We really need another 50,000.
Wow.
Okay, this is the last week. So I'm saying, God, you know, we got a huge miracle here. And we can do it. I think it's 180,000. I think, God, you know what the Lord said when I said, God? He said, there's somebody sitting there who could do the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Where are they, God? Well, they may be in Australia. They may be, I don't know where they are. Canada? But the point is, and by the way, Canadians, you've been amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, thank you, God, and thank you. So all over the world, could you give 1,000, 180,000, whatever? But if you'd like to have, along with the other gifts we're going to send you, the little Christmas shoes for your tree to make people ask why that, and you tell them. It'll inspire them to give. But we'll also send you Ruth's book. And Betty, one of the ways that we live with Kingdom Impact is we touch the least of these. And Jesus said, when you touch them, you touch me. You minister to them, you minister to me. You knew I asked for a cup of water, they gave me vinegar and gall. When you give water, you give me water. Listen, let's give some children shoes. Let's put peace on their feet and talk about how they can get it and they can have the Father's love all the time. Please watch closely. I think you're going to be blessed when you see the need and you know we can meet that need. Watch prayerfully and closely, and then let's meet the need.
If there's one thing mothers around the world pray for above all else, it's the health of their children. And with everything these children are exposed to, that can be a tall order. This year, you may have partnered with Life Outreach out of compassion to take care of some basic needs, like clean drinking water and a daily bowl of food. But have you ever thought about the dangers children face every day simply from being children? With poverty as the deciding factor in what these mothers can provide for their children, a pair of shoes is a necessity that many children will never have. This coming Christmas season, we'd like to do something special for these children and give them a pair of shoes of their very own. These shoes will not only protect their feet from injury and disease, but will be a treasured possession that will remind them of God's love.
We come over here to be a blessing, but we always go back so much more blessed, James, I think, because we see what can be done. We know that our friends, because they love children, they love to give, they love to share. That's you I'm talking about. You love to help, and this is a real need, Shoes for the Children. Please join with us. You'll get such great joy out of it. I know you will. God bless you, and thank you.
Betty, don't you love looking at the children? I want to mention this. Ruth has been right there in the midst of those precious children, just loving them when we're giving them food and water. And Betty, I think it's a joy that we get to help them.
I do too. And these really are true needs for their smiles and for their precious little feet. And as we've been over there, able to be a blessing and to put the shoes on the feet of those precious little ones, it just does something to your heart. And I think that's why you continue helping us do these things, because it comes from your heart. You sense that we're all joining together and making that difference. So I hope you will do it again. These children need our help. Let's put shoes on the precious feet of these children.
You know, when we talk about adding another 50,000 pairs of shoes, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about a $180,000 cost, and there are not many people. There might be somebody that can, and Lord, I believe we just may see that happen. We see wonderful miracles. But every one of you can say, okay, I can do this. And the $36 may seem small to some people. For you, some of you might say, James, that's really big. Well, it's big to 10 children that get the shoes, too. So there's no gift too small. Jesus said the biggest gift made was by the widow that gave the mites. It's just so little, but it was so big. If when we do what God leads us to do, it's huge, because it accomplishes God's will and fulfills kingdom purpose in that situation. So whatever you can do, if you can give over $100, do it. And please know that you're going to put a smile on children's face with the shoes. But if you could give enough money to give surgeries, $500 per surgery, this would be very expensive surgery here. These surgeons go as a mission effort to bless people. And this is just covering basic costs that have to be covered. And we can give two children smiles for a $1,000 gift. There's some level at which you can help. We're going to send you the little Christmas shoes to hang on the Christmas tree. Becomes a conversation piece. And you talk about loving others and not overlooking the least of these, even in small ways. So please, get your bank card, go online, or dial that number, and make the gift God puts on your heart. We're going to send you the gifts that we talk about, and also if you'd like to have Ruth's book on loneliness, more than happy to send it to you. And you may even be getting that because you want to give it to somebody that you love to bless, because you've touched them in their loneliness and you want to bless them even more. Thank you so much for getting your card. If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us. Tell us you're putting it in the mail. We need to hear from you. Last week, we need a miracle. Thank you for being part of the miracle.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences and even death. By responding today, you will help secure and make ready 150,000 Christmas shoes to be shipped and delivered to children around the world just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will provide 20 pair. And a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request this beautifully crafted green crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may also request this keepsake boxed set of all four shoe ornaments, celebrating the various outreaches of Life. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft lip or palate surgeries, and you may request the beautiful Divine Servant bronze sculpture. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
As we travel around the world, one thing we've noticed is the condition of the feet of so many children. We see children all over the world running around barefoot in some terrible conditions. And it's not just unsightly, it's unhealthy and potentially deadly. As we give shoes, which is a wonderful Christmas gift, keep in mind that we are actually giving them a chance for better health, potentially even saving lives. We are protecting them from some really debilitating diseases, things like hookworm, several things that can happen in their feet. These protect them, just like the smiles when we go in and correct a cleft palate. We're not just giving them a cosmetic change, we're actually improving their health. Everything that we do is to improve the health of others physically and spiritually. So go to the phone or go online now. Give the best gift you can as we give Christmas shoes and smiles.
Well, we're going to send you the little Christmas shoe for any gift and the little box with four of the beautiful, colorful shoes. And, you know, Betty actually bought a bigger Christmas tree to have more places to hang the little shoes because we like those ornaments as well as anything on the tree. Well, if you'd like to have this book, Transforming Loneliness, perhaps you experience it or you know someone, I'm going to give this to them because I believe Ruth Graham is a blessing and she knows what she's talking about. So we'll send it to you. You just give some smiles and some shoes, okay? Ruth, I love you.
Love you.
Thanks for being my sister.
Thank you for being my brother.
Yeah, well,
being my sister.
We're going to stay close forever. And anytime you have something you want to share, this is home, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for watching. Thanks for putting God's arms around people that are too often overlooked. Mm-hmm. You are such a blessing.
Are you concerned about your family being ill-equipped to manage resources when you pass away? Do you want to leave a legacy gift that impacts the lives of others? As a free service to our friends and partners, Life Planning Services, a ministry of Life Outreach International, is here to help with your estate planning needs and chart your financial future. Do not put off this important step to protect your loved ones and leave a lasting legacy. Contact Life Planning Services today. Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media sites or visit lifetoday.org, where life is always on.
In the names of God that have been revealed to us, He is the same yesterday, today, wherever you are, and He will be the same tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.